Productivity is an emotion you feel when you get the results you want. We are all just reacting, right? Something comes to our mind. Let me just go text somebody.
I just want to sell and I'm emotionally tapped out. I just want to get out. I've got two young children. Work is on my mind all of the time.
The whole world doesn't fall apart.
I feel like giving up. Well, I wanted to sell my salon like five times when I was a salon owner. And one of the owners in my Salon Mastery program said this exact thing to me last week. And I remember how hard it is sometimes. Although she had made some really huge gains, some growth, a lot of wins in her salon, it just wasn't being reflected in her personal life. And she was still so overwhelmed, exhausted, and still felt like she was on the mouse wheel. So she was just really ready to throw in the towel. But there is one small change that you can make in your life, super easy to do right now, that will relieve you from all of those pressures and stress. So today I'm once again chatting with Metru. She is a productivity coach behind Life is Organized, where we talk about moving from chaos and into clarity, some simple stress relief for salon CEOs. This episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast is brought to you by Salon Mastery. And if you're an ambitious salon owner ready to grow to the $1 million mark, Salon Mastery will give you the roadmap to growth and success, help you attract dream clients, build rockstar teams, and become a true salon CEO. Your coach will help you create a clear game plan to reach your goals of more freedom, more profit, less overwhelm, no more long hours. So if you want to chat, click the apply button in the show notes of this episode. Right, let's jump into our chat with Metru.
Metru, I'm so pleased to have you back on the podcast. Welcome again to the Salon Owners Collective podcast.
Thank you, Larissa. I'm honored to be back here. You have the best audience and I'm so excited for us to have another conversation.
Well, I loved our conversation. It was very on point, which is why I thought we have to get you back. And the other day I thought of you because I was having a conversation with a salon owner. And let me tell you her story, because I know that you're going to have some words of wisdom. She's not alone. We've been working together for a year and mm-hmm. she had done a lot of work in the business. We kept her very busy. She came quite overwhelmed. The business, she had team members leaving. The business was kind of going a little bit backwards financially, but she was very committed to the process and she did the work. She showed up through tears, many tears on a call, but you know, she showed up for herself and she did the work. And we got to the year anniversary and we hopped on a call and she said, you know, Larissa, I just feel like giving up. I've done all of this work and I just want to sell and I'm emotionally tapped out. I just want to get out. I've got two young children and work is on my mind all of the time. And we looked back at the conversation that we had a year ago and we looked at how the status of the business 12 months later, and she'd doubled sales. Her team was starting to become consistent. She had good people on board, but she wasn't feeling any different. She was still feeling anxious, overwhelmed, teary, stretched thin. And I said to her, I think if you look at the results, you've done the work, you've done the hard yards, but you haven't updated the way that you feel in the relationship that you have with your business. You're stretched from heather to never. And I felt for her. Yeah. And I know that this is an area that you're an expert in. You talk about to people like this all of the time. What would you say to salon owners who were feeling the same or having a similar experience?
Yeah. Well, first of all, thanks for sharing that. It's heartbreaking, right? I mean, working so hard, putting in your blood, sweat, and tears, literally. And then you still end up feeling like, should I give up? Should I throw in the towel? It's horrible to hear that, but it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And I want to start by defining what I think productivity is. And by the way, if anyone doesn't know, I'm a productivity coach. So essentially I work with women business owners who are overwhelmed by all their demands in their business and in their home. Okay. So I help them get focused and really create a flow they can stick to. So keeping that in mind, when I think of productivity, it is very much related to what you're saying. It's not about getting more done all the time, more. For me, productivity is an emotion you feel when you get the results you want. So it, to me, it truly comes back to the feeling. So she could still be getting the results, right? She's getting the double sales and the revenue and the building the team, but it's not making her feel good, right? It's not making her feel great. And I'd love to bring this conversation to that. It's like, what makes us feel really great? And typically what makes us feel good is when we feel empowered, when we feel like things are in our control, right? When it doesn't feel all scattered and just by happenstance and I'm running by the seat of my pants, it's getting done, but it's so crazy and I'm so overwhelmed by it. You know, it, when it's happening, when it feels like it's in my control, I have control over this, you will always feel really good about the results you get. Even if they're not exactly what you wanted, you'll be like, I did it on my terms in my way. And so I think that is something that would be a great, I'm so happy we're having this conversation because I think that's a great place for us to take this is how do we get ourselves, because we're all doing the work. I know if anyone's listening to this podcast, you are doing the work. You're putting in the hours, but how do you do it in a way that you feel more in control?
Exactly. Yes, I agree. She was feeling stretched and I guess hadn't updated the relationship, the feeling relationship or feeling like she'd got back control of what she was doing, when and why. All right. So if the goal is to feel a little bit more in control of ourselves, of our business, of the way that we're showing up in our family, let's talk about that. What are some good tactics that we can walk away from listening to this podcast with? Where would you start?
I believe that boundaries is one of the hardest things to implement and to stand by. And they're also the most kind of undervalued. I think a lot of times women come to me and we're working together and they'll tell me probably a very similar situation that you just shared, right? And I'm doing all the things, I'm feeling overwhelmed, I don't feel good, but boundaries doesn't come up in their conversation until we start getting deeper into it. And then we recognize that, you know, that is a really big issue. And one of the ways to feel more in control is to have intentional boundaries. So I think so many times we think we have boundaries, right? We'll say things like, oh, I don't want to work on the weekends, or I don't want to work at night, or I need to get more sleep. But what are those boundaries actually? Like if you were actually writing out for your team, for yourself, you know, here's my 10 rules, my non-negotiables, what would they be? So is my laptop closed at 6 o'clock every night? Is it closed at 8 o'clock every night? Is it 2 days a week at 5 o'clock, I shut down everything, go home, and 3 days or 2 days, I allow myself to do it till 8 o'clock? Is it that I don't bring anything to the bedroom at night that has to do with work? Is it that I sit with my family and none of us have our phones with us during dinner, so we sit as a family and be present together? Is it when I come into work, I spend the first hour of my day, I'm not answering emails, I'm not staying off my phone, and I'm doing like my number one priority for the day. You know, what are those boundaries? I think because we're all working so hard, we're doing all the things for all the people, we've lose sight of that. And I think it's a great exercise. If you're listening to this right now, put on a 10-minute timer, 5-minute timer even, and say, what are my true boundaries? Like actually write them out like a manifesto so you're getting very clear about them. I think that's really what's going to start, because then just even by writing it out is cathartic. Then you start feeling like, okay, I'm having some control of my life. Now I have to figure out how to implement it, but that's the first step. Do you see that a lot with your clients?
I agree. There's something really important about the writing down process and just spending the time to be focused, because you can have passing, flitting thoughts of things you would like to do, but to actually write them down and then to hold yourself accountable for them. That's the tricky bit somehow.
Yes. Yeah. We have a personal thing going on, a personal matter. We have a lawyer and my husband's texting her. It's Sunday for me right now. And she just said, you know what? I'll respond to you tomorrow morning. Like, that's it. Like, that's just her boundary. And could she lose him as a client? Perhaps. Chances are it's not going to. We're like, okay, well, I guess she'll respond tomorrow, right? But it's so empowering. It's like empowering for me to see her doing that. And then, you know, inspiring to me to say, oh, you know what? It's okay. The whole world doesn't fall apart, but you have to stand true and you have to stand in the power of your boundaries.
I actually agree with you. When you demonstrate boundaries, but you communicate well and you just do it with no you know, no emotion behind it. You're just stating, mm-hmm. of course, I would love to do that. I will do that for you on Monday. I agree with you. It inspires other people to go, oh, yeah, I could do that for myself too. That wasn't hard, or she did that in a nice way. So I'm all about it for sure.
Yeah. And then, and also just another thing, why did my husband reach out to her on a Sunday? It wasn't urgent. He reached yes. out because it was a thought that came to his mind. And so we have to remember that too, that we're all just reacting, right? Something comes to our mind. Let me just go text somebody. Let me just go follow. It doesn't mean it's urgent, right? And so if you remember that as well, that it just, everything isn't urgent just because it falls on your lap at that given time.
Yes. Yes. And give yourself permission to park it. Leave Absolutely. The message unread. Like if you want to Absolutely. Read it and then turn it unread so you'll get back to it on Monday.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. good. So we're going to write a list of our intentional boundaries, things that mm-hmm. we do and don't want. What would be the next thing to do in terms of getting that sense of control back?
As business owners, I think we get very wrapped up in our business, as we all know, as we do. You know, we can pour our heart and soul and everything into it, all of our time and energy. But there is another part of our life as well, which is our home life, our personal life, our kids, our families, our self-care, our health, all the other things, relationships. And I think being intentional about this as well is so critical to you feeling in control, because it can, all that personal stuff can go by the wayside, or it can get your attention, but it feels again, very scattered. Let me just squeeze it in when I get a chance, or let me do the bare minimum, or let me just show up to the things that I have to do for a deadline to be with my child's something right at their recital. But where is that, again, the presence, and where is the time and the memories you're creating, and where is that time to foster relationships and get to the gym and all of that, right? And so building a really holistic calendar, a really holistic schedule, will keep you feeling in control. In the sense, I bet, again, we have a lot of work things on our calendars, all of your appointments with your team members, with clients, with, you know, everyone, all of those are there. Even doctor's appointments, even maybe your own hair appointment is on there. But where is that time that you're like, here, on the weekend, we as a family are going to go do something together, or I'm going to meal plan on Sunday night, or I'm going to take 30 minutes to take a walk during lunch 4 days this week, or I'm going to literally put on my calendar that I'm going to fill up 3 big water bottles so I have them on my desk so I can drink them during the day. You know, or in the beginning of the year when I'm planning with my clients, I'm like, let's plan out your vacations before we do anything. Let's get those on the calendar, because you got to buy tickets for those. And once you buy tickets, you're going to go, right? And things like that. And so really, truly, again, back to the intentional boundaries like that, but intentional scheduling, but not just the work stuff. Put on your calendar the personal things just as you would, because they are just as important, if not more important, than your professional life.
Yeah, I 100% agree with that. I run my life by my calendar, and it doesn't mean that it's set in stone. Like I can, nice. I know one of the reservations to doing that is I don't want to feel restricted.
Yes.
But my calendar is fluid. But if I have a block in my calendar to do a thing and I need to change it, of course I'm not going to just delete it. I need to move it somewhere else. So I don't lose the thing, whether it's a self-care thing or it's a family thing. Like I want to make sure that I see my dad least every fortnight, and so yes. if I need to change it and we're doing something, is it I just need to move it to somewhere else so I don't lose it and drop it. Walking the dog is in my calendar, all of my personal things are in my calendar, and it gives me freedom to know that it's parked there. I doesn't have to swirl around in my head at 3 a.m. going to yes. oh, I must remember to take the dog to the vet. It's in my calendar, even just yeah. to remember to book the dog for the appointment at the vet.
I love it. Yeah, there yes. is a shame about putting personal things on the calendar. I hear this from women all the time. They're like, because we're talking about date night. Let's say we're going to put date night on the calendar, or spending time with my child, right? I'm going to go, again, I don't want to be restricted, but at some point on Saturday, I'm going to have a 2-hour block that I'm just with my kid, right? And then they say, well, I feel it's really terrible, right? That I have to put that on my calendar. Why can't I remember to do that? And there's a lot of shame around that. And it's completely untrue. So I'll say, okay, well, don't put it on your calendar. And then what happens? You don't have the date night. So why don't we put date night, and then you'll have date night once, you know, maybe twice a month on there, because it's on the calendar and now it's scheduled. So it's not about shaming anyone. It's, again, just thinking about, just like you would do it for work, why aren't we doing for personally? There is so much on our mind. We are so overwhelmed. We're so overloaded that you don't need to spend more energy on trying to remember the things that you're not supposed to forget. Just simply put it on the calendar and let that just happen for you, right? Let it be there for you so you can start making the plans to get towards those priorities.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think it's a smart thing to do, not a shameful thing to do. It gives us freedom, actually. Freedom of mind, because you can forget about it until it shows up on your calendar, I think.
100%. Yeah. And then it feels like, oh, I'm so much more in control, because not only do I have my business things, oh, I'm in control of when I'm going to spend time with my family, or that I'm going to work out, or when I'm going to meal plan, or when I'm going to organize my garage, or anything else. You again, comes back to that. How do I feel about the things that I'm actually getting done? I feel so good when it's holistic. I feel so good when it's, you know, when I'm looking at my life as a full life.
Hey, I actually just wanted to interrupt this podcast because I wanted to share quickly that my team and I are on a mission to elevate the salon industry. We're too freaking cool as an industry to be thought of as the school dropout career choice, and that salon owners, all that they do is cut and color hair and paint nails. Hang on a minute. We're actually salon CEOs. So can you help us grow the reach of the podcast so more owners can listen and learn about life-changing business strategies, how to run their business, how to make a profitable investment in running a salon and live a life of freedom and profit? No more 60-hour weeks, no more overwhelm. We want to enjoy our business and elevate this industry. All you need to do to help this mission is to hit the subscribe button on this podcast. All right, let's jump back to the podcast.
I also think there's value in the context over time, like your appointment book over time, your calendar, I should call it, over time. Like, for example, we have quite a busy January, February, March socially. There's lots of things that happen in our life between football and events and anniversaries and all the things. And if I have too much going on, I get a little bit anxious. And I want to make sure that I'm scheduling a break weekend where I have nothing on. And unless I can see all of the weekends over a period of time, over a 3-month period, then I don't, before I know it, I could just have things on all of the time and then there's no downtime. Mm-hmm. So I think you need to look like, when was the last time that I caught up with my dad? Shoot, it's been 2 weeks already. I better give him a call because I actually want to spend time with him. So I think being able to look back helps you plan forward also.
100%. I love that. And again, it's a more holistic view. It's like a 360 view of your life, right? Where you said from the past and then and how you plan the future. I'm so glad you brought that up because I 100% agree with that.
Yeah. Now you said something super interesting to me before we pushed record. You said one of the things in terms of feeling in control is simplify. I'm intrigued. Mm-hmm. What is this? How can I simplify my life more?
Oh my gosh. I think we could simplify every area of our life. If we really wanted to break it down from how we dress, right, to what we're cooking or eating, to how many packages we're offering to our clients, to how we're structuring our team, to, you know, it can go on. Less is truly more, right? So if we go back to why are we feeling so overwhelmed? Why are we feeling so out of control? There is a true thing, the thing called decision fatigue, right? There's so many decisions to make throughout the day. There are so many options. There are so many choices. There's so many places for us to put our energy from the moment when the alarm goes off. Do I snooze it or do I let it, you know, or do I get up out of bed? I mean, from the moment our eyes wake up, we're making decisions. And so the more that we can simplify things, the more to say, I have less options, I have less choices, I have less decision-making, it just opens up your brain power and your energy, your emotional capacity, your physical load, right? I mean, all of it, because you're just making less decisions, there's less options, there's less scatteredness. I mean, truly, if you ever go into one of the big kind of shopping centers or grocery stores, and there's 30 aisles and you're trying to go in there and try to find something. Or if you go into a little, you know, local store with 3 aisles, how much faster do you get your bread and get out, right? It's so quick because you just quickly, you go there, you figure it out, you grab it. And it's the same way with all the things we're doing all day long. So I would suggest really looking at every aspect of your life. Again, is it maybe my friend circle? Am I trying to overextend myself too much? Are there some core people that these are the most meaningful? It's my dad. It's my brother. It's my two best friends that I'm really going to, you know, craft my schedule around. At work, is it, are we offering so many options? Are we customizing everything? It's just too much that it's adding in every way, the pricing, the taxes, the what we have to train our employees and how to do them all, right? Every piece of that, it adds on more and more. The back end of it, the infrastructure. So what are maybe instead analyzing, saying, well, what are our top five sellers? You know, what is everybody asking for? And we just focus and hone in and go all in on those. And now it simplifies everything, the back end, the front end, how you're marketing when people are asking for something, you know, it just simplifies it. So again, it's really looking at all areas of your life and saying, how can I make this easier where less is truly more freedom for me? One last example I've got is that, you know, we see a lot of these big leaders kind of wearing this, whatever it might be, the jeans and the black shirt or whatever their kind of uniform is. And it truly is because it's an easier decision to make every morning. I don't have to think about sitting in front of my closet for 20 or 30 minutes figuring out what to wear, right? And so, like I said, it really can touch every aspect of your life.
That whole, what am I going to wear today, is such a nightmare. I mean, it's a true problem. I kind of always like to, either the night before or before I get out of bed, got to work out what I'm going to wear, because if I have a shower and I haven't worked it out, it suddenly becomes a problem.
Yeah.
It's definitely a thing.
Yeah. So I just worked with a client and we were kind of going through her morning routine and just really trying to build out a schedule that she could stick to more regularly. And she wanted to start working out. And she was like, well, on Monday, I'm going to do running. And on Tuesday, I'm going to do a Zumba class. And on Thursday, I'm going to do, and it was five different classes. I was like, no, you can pick, you can do one cardio and one weight training. We're going to pick two and figure out the days and that's it. Not to say you can't ever do that, but that is so much pressure and confusion and like figuring it, you know, it was like, let's just do one or two, work your way up and you can do that. But yeah, really it's an every decision we're making.
Decision fatigue is a real thing. Like, I think it's worth you knowing and understanding it as a thing, and the less decisions and the more that you can automate or simplify, it makes all the difference. Agree.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. And really the routine, it is not, it doesn't have to be boring. You can mix things up. You, like you mentioned earlier, you can reschedule things. You can move them around. You can get creative. It's truly giving you so much freedom. It's, instead of thinking is taking away my creativity or my spontaneity, it's giving you the mental bandwidth and the freedom to say, all right, well now I've saved all this time and energy by having less choices. Now I have all this extra time and energy at the end of my day to do whatever I want, or on the weekend, exactly, or whenever it is, right? Because you have saved all that time and freedom earlier. So again, it's kind of just like shifting that mindset a bit of, you're not losing something, you are gaining something so valuable in your life.
Yeah, and giving yourself permission to, like, I know freedom and creativity is really important to a lot of people in this industry,
yes. Mm-hmm.
But it's choosing what to have freedom and creativity for. It doesn't have to be in everything. So one of the things that I like to do is be really organized with my calendar so I can be free and creative for everything else, to your point.
Exactly.
So exactly. I love that.
Yeah.
All right. This is, you know, what you think about and what you work with people like this. So what is a quote or a mantra that you keep kind of strong for yourself when it comes to feeling in control for your business?
Yeah, this is an oldie but goodie, but done is better than perfect. Again, can apply to everything. Get it out the door. Even if your calendar, and this is something I think so many women struggle with, if they might hear me speak and then they'll say, I don't know how to build a perfect calendar. I don't know how to do the routine. Just do something, build something, right? I don't know how to be intentional about the boundaries. Pick five new boundaries. You know, it doesn't matter if it's not perfect. It doesn't matter if the calendar isn't perfectly holistic. Start somewhere and just get it out and try it and test it. The only way you're going to learn at the end is to test what you're doing. See if it works. Doesn't work, it's no big deal. Try another thing, you know? And so just get going, get moving. Stop trying to find the perfect solution. I've been teaching this stuff for 10 years. I've never found the perfect tool to organize everything or the perfect productivity, you know, software. It doesn't exist. It'll always be evolving, but you just got to get out there and try it.
Yeah, I love that. And I totally agree. All right. What is a book, a podcast, a resource that you have or have come across recently that all salon owners should get their hands on?
Yeah, I read a lot of books. And so I'm going to do what I'm going to do is highlight my favorite last book, which is 10X is Better Than 2X. I think it's Dan Sullivan and somebody else. I'm forgetting the name. But it really is that it's very much, they get very tactical in the end, last two chapters about you're building your team and your calendar and boundaries, a lot of things we're talking about. But kind of that first half is all about your mindset and thinking in a 10X way, thinking more scalable. And it's not brand new information, but the way that they structure it, the way that they said it, it just really hit it for me.
Right. I'll make sure I find the link to that. I haven't read that myself and put it in the show notes of this episode. All right. Where can we find you, stalk you? What's your dub in your socials?
Great. Well, I'm at all things Life is Organized, lifeisorganized.com. Come get some free resources there. If you're lifeisorganized.com/resources, you get some resources on how to stay focused, stop feeling overwhelmed. And then since you're listening to a podcast, join me on the Productivity on Purpose podcast. It is geared for women business owners. So I have over, I don't know, close to 200 episodes there. So just go in and binge them if you want. And then same with on Instagram. It's also Life is Organized.
Amazing. I really appreciate your insights. It's been another great episode. Thank you so much.
Thank you again for having me. I hope everyone walks away with a little bit of value.
Great. Another good episode. And I hope you are ready to look at your calendar and start blocking out some personal time with your friends, your family, or even just to have some downtime alone. Thank you so much again, Mithu, for joining us on another episode of the Salon Owners Collective podcast. Now, if I don't manage my own calendar to an inch of its life, I can't manage a growing business, a team who needs me, growing children, a family, friends. I need to have a social life. And otherwise, I'm the one that misses out in the end. And I know it can feel a bit weird putting in your calendar time to spend with your family, your kids. But you know what? It just clears up that space in your mind. So you're not surprised when suddenly it's school holidays or you're overwhelmed by trying to plan a simple family dinner. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. And one more thing before you go, because I really do want to better our industry and show salon owners that they can grow to $1 million without the overwhelm, without working more, and that they can spend time with their family and go to the movies with their kids without feeling guilt or that they have no time. So help me reach more salon owners, thus raise the wider industry, by clicking the subscribe button on this podcast, because I truly believe a rising tide lifts all boats. All right, look forward to chatting same time, same place on the podcast next week. Ciao for now.
Thanks for joining me on another episode of the podcast. Tune in every week as I reveal the latest insights and advice on what it takes to truly master your inner salon CEO and master your salon success. Subscribe to the Salon Owners Collective podcast on iTunes or Spotify, or visit us online at www.salonownerscollective.com. But make sure to join me in my Facebook group for answers to common questions and much, much more. Thanks for listening, and I look forward to tuning in with you again next week.